producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, so I dropped the
Gene, you never miss a chance, man. I don't want a lump of coal.
Well, I don't know. You can crush it with your super strength and make it into a diamond like Superman does.
Well, see? I'm going to ask Chris about a new book that just came out, co-authored by Hugh Newman, who's pretty well known in the ancient astronaut department. But the book is about the possibility of the existence of a race or races of giants on the planet. And they go into quite a bit of information that claims the Smithsonian gobbled up during the end of the 19th century, middle to end of the 19th century, early 20th century, all just innocently exhumed skeletons of what appear to be humanoids that are, in some cases, claims go up to 18 feet. Have you studied the controversy around the giants in North America? Two rows of teeth, for instance, red hair, 7 to 9 feet tall on average.
Well, I haven't really studied it. I mean, okay, to be honest, when I was about 12, 13 years old, I found that really interesting. Because, you know, I thought, well, here we have the Nephilim of the Bible and kind of thing. And I was very interested in ancient astronauts at the time. But to be honest, these days, I don't pay a lot of attention to these claims made about giant remains and so on. Because once you research the stories, you normally find that either they weren't as big as they said, or they never existed at all, or they were just parts of animals or something like that. So personally, I don't spend my time looking at giants, but I mean, I realize it's a very interesting subject. I'd love someone to write a very good book about it, and I would definitely buy it.
Now, what percentage do you think of these stories of UFOs over the years, particularly around the late 19th century when we had the airships, were the result of people just trying to tell stories to get fame and fortune or sell newspapers or something?
Well, from the 19th century onwards, it was quite common because there was this massive boom in newspapers. Many years ago, when I founded Magonia Exchange, which, as you know, exists to exchange information that we find in newspapers, books, and other places, and that we just exchange it, you know, amongst ourselves, although it's an association that anyone can join. When I started that, I wanted to see how many newspapers there were in the world that we could start researching, and hopefully they would be digitalized at some point. And I realized that in America, there were thousands of newspapers in German which still haven't been digitalized and nobody's ever heard of, but there they were, all these titles in German. And what it means is that there were so many newspapers, there was so much competition throughout the 19th century that people had to find new stories and exciting new ways to sell them. So, yes, real UFOs were seen. Strange things definitely did happen. But they didn't wait around for those things to happen. They'd invent stories constantly. I mean, if you look at UFOs, I mean, people will say, "Oh, that's terrible. You can't say that about UFOs and so on, because we know that there really were lots of them." And I say, "Yeah, okay, but think about other topics. I mean, meteorites. Meteorites fall very often. They normally become meteoric dust on the way down, or they fall into the sea. But if you take the 19th century press as a whole, it seems like a meteorite was killing a cow or a mother-in-law or splitting a statue in two every other week, which is completely impossible. And it's because they knew that meteorite stories sold. So every small town had its meteorite story, but not just one. They had a new one every single week. So, yeah, obviously, a lot of that information is untrue. But On the other hand, the only way that we can ever get to authentic cases is by studying it, by examining
wading through the dross.
Exactly, and that is exactly what we wanted to do in Return to Magonia, because it was time to analyze the best cases that we can find. So that's why, you know, we've put 21 cases together. Each one stands on its own individually as an interesting case study. Yeah, we're confident that a lot of these are anomalous and should be taken more seriously. In the future, we will definitely bring out another one with the rest of the cases that we've looked at.
Son of Return to Magonia.
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking about the return of the return to. I don't know how we'll call it yet.
Well, nowadays they just use a numeric symbol, so it would be Return to Magonia 2.
Or 2.0 or something like that. I mean, now we're also developing Wonders in the Sky 2.0. We are working on updating that catalog too and getting rid of, you know, mistakes, adding new cases and just polishing it. And then also Martin and I have a new project, which we're very excited about, which will be to what we're doing. We are analyzing every single case in every Charles Fort book published to date. It's massive. It's very big. Fortunately, I'm unemployed currently, voluntarily, during a year, so I have plenty of free time to do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to, because it's a seriously large undertaking, as you say. And
well,
that's
a testament to your, how would I put this? Fort, to me, was the granddaddy of all modern paranormal research in terms of the amount of years that he spent in New York libraries and newspaper archives combing through and pulling out the most incredible stuff. Some of the most influential books in my library were written by Charles Fort, and I'm just so gratified that someone is finally tackling the monolith. Just to get through the writing, the prose, is a chore.
If I tried to read that stuff when I was a teenager, because they had the books of Charles Fort where they collect all the works in a single thick volume.
Right, the collected works of Charles Fort.
Right. Now, the other thing, of course, that concerned me there is he's going to the library and he's collecting stories. He's not really investigating anything. He's collecting stories.
Well, that's what Chris is going to do.
Of course.
He's going to say, okay, well, let's look at these.
Exactly. And that's the point, because you wonder how many of these stories, especially newspaper articles, were written just to sell papers. But parenthetically, before we go on, when you were talking about that, especially during the 19th century, you had these editors who basically make up stories just to sell papers. And I wonder how many people believe them. But I wonder how much of that is still going on with cable news. Whether cable news, particularly here in the United States, how many times do they take real stories, gin them up to make them sound more sensational, take words out of context and do 10 days of stories about it, you know, where they may have a real event.
The opposite, when don't they do that?
That might be a bigger question, yeah. Take a single phrase from somebody and create an entire universe about that. And our entire political dialogue is very much based on a lot of fake stories.
And Franken quotes.
Oh, yes, Franken quotes. You didn't build that.
Well, I'd like to hear about some more cases in the book, because some of these are just the amount of documentation. It's just to be able to dig this kind of stuff up about cases that are hundreds of years old is quite a testament to your focus, concentration, and just perseverance, because the amount of work it takes to pull this kind of documentation out of history is immense, especially when it has to do with subjects as controversial as things seen in the sky before there was flight in many cases. So some of the other cases in here are quite intriguing. Why don't you give us a thumbnail sketch of several of them?
Okay. Well, I mentioned that in Chapter 4 we talk about this fireball that goes over the water and attacks a ship. In Chapter 5, I was going to go through the book a little bit and tell you, you know, about a few cases we have in here. In Chapter 5, we look at the concept of flying saucers, that is, disc-shaped objects in the sky. So we take a story from Staffordshire in England in 1759, which is about these four coins or discs that danced across the sky for 30 seconds.
Let's look at the discs and let's see what they mean and more. Well, with Chris Abeck joining Gene and KK, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Paid monetary spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You give a lot of class to our silly stinger. Okay, so you were talking here about the four coins, and I thought when you said that three coins in the fountain, a song from the 1950s. Don't ask me why. I think I'm getting too old for this, but go ahead.
Well, this is about these four coins or discs. I mean, he compares them to coins that that danced across the sky for 30 seconds. And in the book, we ask whether these were fireballs. But in the end, we realize this explanation doesn't really fit. And it's also interesting that four dancing discs is so similar to what Kenneth Arnold said he saw in 1947, which he described as nine flat objects skipping. You know, so we go into this subject a little bit. Then after that, we talk about in chapter 7, about the moon, you know, the story about the moon that divides and these humanoids float out. And it's great because if you look at the book, I mean, it's full of literally hundreds of photos and footnotes, of course, too. So one of the reasons that we're not available in Kindle at the moment is because it's just so full of photos. And there's a 20 megabyte limit on the size of a book that you can publish through Kindle. And this is 40 megabytes as a file. So, as I said, it's got a lot of maps, a lot of illustrations. So it's definitely not a boring book in that sense. Then in chapter 8, well, this is a very odd and fascinating account about a fiery phenomenon that descended from the sky in Somerset in England on December the 8th, 1831. And the descriptions that people gave were all a bit different. So one said it was like a clock face. Another said it was like a kettle. Someone even said it had human legs or at least appendages. The object emitted light, heat, and sound. Some said it was a man-shaped fireball, like ones that I'm collecting at the moment. And it scorched the grass, and then it ascended again. And it's interesting because we know all the locations that this object went through, and we can plot those on a map, but we don't know what time of day each one was seen, so we can't really plot the path it took. So, you know, that's an interesting case. After that, we look into a story that we also publish in On Wonders in the Sky. This was about these three luminous objects that burst out of the water on June the 18th, 1845. They come out from the Sea of Sicily, and they remain in view for about 10 minutes in front of all these witnesses who are on a brig called the Victoria. After that, in chapter 10, we talk about triangles, because this is another subject that we find very interesting. The idea of seeing a triangle in the sky, whether it's made of cloud or light or something, because a triangle is really a very artificial looking thing. And we have a story from 1852 in which a coast guard called Francis Seymour at Dover in England witnesses a dense triangular cloud that seems to grow and grow in the sky, and then in the center you can see a kind of fireball that's flashing towards him. So we look at this case, and you know, so on and so on. I mean, the case after that is from Australia, a place called Morpeth. In November 1862, a guy called Osman Middleton hears a rushing noise in the sky. He looks up and he sees this dark object that seems to be rotating. And he calls it a meteor, but it can't really be a meteor because meteors never look black. Otherwise, we'd never be able to see them at night, except when they get right at the end of their fall through the sky. But then they pass far too quickly to see if they're rotating and so on. So we look at that case. And then we reach a case that I find very interesting from 1873. I suppose you've read about this one, about this object that comes from the sky carrying a pilot who exits the vehicle in Ohio. It's good because it's one of the earliest stories that we found of an object from the sky that has a pilot, or at least there's someone inside it. And there are these two farmers that see it land. They approach it. It's quite late at night in a rural road in Ohio. And suddenly this guy comes out. I mean, this was a thing that was luminous or at least fiery in the sky. It lands. This guy comes out dressed in black. and he gets into a buggy, like a car, and it doesn't have wheels, there are no horses, and it just drives off, and it disappears down the road and into a gully. And this case is interesting.
Is it actually touching the ground or floating above it?
It doesn't say it's floating. It doesn't say it's touching the ground either. I would imagine that if it was a big, heavy object, they would have mentioned that it was loud, you know, and scraping against the ground. He had arrived in a flying object, so I suppose you could say that he had, you know, supposing this is all real, he would have had the technology to have created a flying car, I suppose. Last October, I was at this place. It's just outside Zanesville in Ohio. I went there with Kay Massingill, who found this story a few years ago now. And yeah, we've researched it to death. I mean, I went up and down these roads with Kay in her car. And we had a great time, stopping and looking for the gully, for the right road, the houses. I mean, using all the geological records, all the census material, you can find not only the names of the witnesses, you can often find their photograph, the day they were born, died. We plotted all of this onto a map. I could find I found the neighbors of this guy. I mean, he was a poor farmer. Or just a simple worker, but so his name doesn't appear on any of the land ownership maps, but his neighbors do. So we plotted the route where the census taker would have walked from house to house, and we could work out where he lived. So therefore, the distance that he would have traveled, because he was coming from Taylorsville, which is now called Philo, where we went to, of course. And so we could work out approximately how far he would have traveled at what time of day and so on. I mean, these are just approximations, but it was fascinating to be in the very place that this would have happened. And, you know, I mean, this is a case which, as I said, it's chapter 12 of our book. And it's interesting, even if it's not true, there's no way to know, you know, at this point in time, whether these cases are all 100% true or not, particularly if they're reported by farmers or just simple workers. But at least it's like the first time in UFO history when someone sees a man in black comes out of a spaceship, gets into a car. And there were no cars in 1873. You know, it's that's why we just find this so interesting.
We've got Chris Sobeck, co-author of Return to Magonia, Investigating UFOs in History. All right. And we're just getting started, but then we only have a few segments left for the show. So we'll cover as much ground as we can with Gene and KK. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com, onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Your house is under attack. Every day our homes and families are attacked by harmful gases, mold, and pollutants caused by everyday activities. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 5 to 100 times worse than outdoor air. And the American Lung Association states that poor indoor air can cause infections and chronic lung diseases such as asthma. Protect your family with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Wave ventilation units for basements and crawl spaces reduce moisture that nourishes mold, odors, dust, just might and expels gases and pollutants. Add the Wave 6 Stage Air Purifier to get rid of the viruses, chemicals, and pollutants upstairs for a complete indoor air quality solution. A healthy home is the best investment you can make. Visit WaveHomeSolutions.com. That's WaveHomeSolutions.com. Or call 888-758-WAVE. That's 888-758-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions. For a healthy, comfortable home.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
With a new year coming, it's time for a new way to look at weapon storage. Safes can't be accessed quickly, and racks are unsafe for children. Covert cabinets are the next level in home defense. They fit seamlessly into any home's decor, and they provide quick access to firearms while keeping them uniquely hidden. Covert cabinets, the ideal hidden storage solution. Custom made in the USA, covert cabinets are an elegant and practical alternative to the bulky and obvious storage systems of the past. Find out more at covertcabinets.com. That's covertcabinets.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue our final two segments with Chris Aubeck, the co-author of Return to Magonia, Investigating UFOs in History. Let me just drop a quick question here. Looking over the cases you have in this book, the ones you have for your next book, when you remove the cultural influences, can you provide at this point a distinct picture of what's being seen, or does it vary too much?
It certainly varies, but, I mean, we look for patterns in the information. The thing is, we consider it's a little bit too premature to reach a conclusion. I mean, I know a lot of people who write about UFOs, who research this topic, reach conclusions very easily. They'll say they're blood-sucking vampires from Venus, or people who want to make hybrid children with us, or intelligences from another dimension, or time travelers, and so on and so on. We think it's just a little bit too soon to reach any conclusions in that sense. I mean, we have reached a series of conclusions, but we're not trying to sell a theory, if you see what I mean. You know, there's our conclusion's a little bit different. I mean, firstly, we say that UFO phenomena as described by human witnesses have remained very similar over time. So that's that. It's very important. Our ancestors' curiosity was aroused by the same variety of stimuli in the sky as our own. So they saw triangular or spherical or discoidal objects. So it's that. It's that evolution of a thing. Our second conclusion is that very old testimonies should not be rejected out of hand because they can be analyzed very carefully and using modern resources. The problem is a lot of UFO researchers don't take the time to learn how to use these resources. That's a change that we hope will happen in the future. But whatever we find, and this is our third conclusion, really, I mean, we think that the UFO phenomenon deserves serious attention, and we can't promote it as a body of evidence with a single unifying explanation. We're not saying that these are psychic powers or manifestations of the dead or aliens or anything like that. We can approach this very seriously. We can approach this scientifically. You know, I mean, a lot of people spend a lot of time and money on researching this subject. I think that it deserves to be studied properly. As I said, if anyone wants to join my research organization, Meconia Exchange, they're welcome to, because we find some amazing things. I mean, I think so far we've found 36,000 items or something
wow.
like that.
Wow, that's an impressive number. You know who should become part of the association and help defray the cost and maybe hire additional research help is Yerny Milner. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's throwing a lot of money after going after a private SETI project, I guess, for lack of a better definition. I think a well-rounded approach would include funding academic efforts such as yours. I think this could provide invaluable insight into the modern aspect of the mystery that has forgotten its past. I think some of the most illuminating potential data could inadvertently fall out of one of these cases. And I really, really, Chris, I applaud your efforts. I applaud the efforts of Jacques Vallée, who really kind of got this whole Meconia boat going back in 69 with his seminal work. You know, again, I think this is it's just tremendous what you're doing, and I hope that, you know, you are talking to a very up-to-speed audience here at the Paracast. We have a lot of very bright people, engineers, doctors, professionals, aerospace folks, et cetera. And I would really hope that some people would at least show their support, sign up to the association, and possibly send some sort of documentation of a case that, you know, the Meconia Project doesn't have. So onwards and upwards with the effort. I think it's important.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we can only go forward in the future by understanding and accepting the implications of our past. And I think this is an aspect in this field that has sorely, sorely been neglected.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, all of the resources that we use, these archives of newspapers and so on, they're searchable. It's like Google. You just go in there, you put a few keywords in, and it's amazing what you get back. I challenge anyone to spend half an hour searching one of these newspaper archives without finding a UFO case, a new one. There's just so much of it, you know, and then we have these excellent people to give advice about what we find. You know, Martin Schoff, my co-author of Return to Meconia, is amazing in this way. He's been a massive influence over my own approach to all of this.
Right.
Then we have amazing researchers like Kay Massingill from Mississippi. She's contributed so many new cases. I mean, it's become part of her life now. So I open my computer in the morning and I see 13 new interesting stories. I mean,
wow.
Not just about UFOs, just 14.
I'm jealous.
You know, and, you know, anyone can join. It's completely free. It's easy to do. And it's healthy and fun, better than smoking.
Well, it depends on what you smoke.
Yeah,
that's true. Smoke us.
All right. Okay, we're getting to the end of the show, so I want to just cover a few things here and go on. Looking at over these cases, it's kind of set up at the beginning of your book that the ET theory is too simplistic, doesn't account for all the variables. But is there any possibility at all that at the end of the day, we're going to look at all the cases and they do indicate that extraterrestrials did visit us and that's what these events are?
Yeah, why not? I'm happy to admit that. If I find anything like that, I will say it. I will shout it from the rooftops. You know, I admit that I saw a UFO myself in 1996. I'm not at all denying the it's possible to see objects that we cannot identify. I don't care, as I said, if they turn out to be Venusians here on holiday or completely imaginary or whatever. It doesn't make any difference to me at all because that's not what I study. I get off on the fact that it's the evolution of a cultural theme. These are motifs, like in folklore, but that doesn't mean that none of it's true. Sure. If anything is found by any of us that indicate extraterrestrialism, yeah, I'm happy to acknowledge it. I think it would be a great discovery. You know, who knows?
You
know,
coined a new word.
Yeah, I realize that. I'm sorry.
Extraterrestrialism. I love it.
Well, you know what? That word was
actually...
You
better trademark that real quick.
You can't. Chris, it was already done.
Oh,
extraterrestrialism was coined by the late Yona Fortna, who wrote for Saucer News.
Flying Saucerism. How's that? Yeah.
Huh?
Flying Saucerism?
Flying Saucerism. I make it. Extraterrestrialism was coined by the late Yona Fortna back in the late 50s. As he wrote a series of articles for Saucer News called Extraterrestrialism as an Historical Doctrine, and he maintained that the God of the Old Testament was E.T. That was his theory. Before you even had von Däniken, he was plying that road.
Wow. Well, did he trademark it?
Yona? Nah.
Never mind.
He boasted Yona was a character and a half. If I can find a recording of him on radio, I think it would be fun to play it here if we can get the rights for it.
Well, Yona, if anybody can find it, I bet you Chris could.
Right. Or actually, I might ask Bob Zanotti, our staff announcer, who had a show called Coffee Klatch back in the 60s. And I wonder if Yona wasn't on there. It would be real, real fun to present him. He was a wacky guy. He claimed to speak dozens of languages, including Sanskrit. He even claimed to me in a letter written to me, I guess in the 90s before he died, that in a very loose way, the character of Yoda...
Oh, yeah, was modeled after him, right?
Yes. I don't know whether we can believe that.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Chris Abeck, comic book character... Who was your favorite comic book character when you were growing up, and has it morphed into a new favorite?
Well, let's have that answer in our next segment. We have to have the answer in our next segment.
Okay.
Let's have a cliffhanger, folks, because comics have cliffhangers. With Chris Abeck, Gene, and KK for the final segment, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
I want to be able to smoke inside, cut down on cigarettes, jog without wheezing, be kissable, and save money.
Then you want Le Cig e-cigarettes. Get the highest quality, best tasting vaping experience on the market with unmatched customer service from Le Cig. And right now, gobble up this deal. Buy $30 worth of any products and get a starter kit for only $5. Use code SK at checkout. But hurry, offer good only until Thanksgiving at LeCig.com. LeCig.com. Kick some ash with Le Cig.
owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So Chris Aubeck has asked the pop culture question, your favorite comic book?
Well, until my rat ate all my comic books when I was 15, I read the Avengers quite a lot. And, you know, I don't think I identified with any of them. But, you know, fortunately, my rat didn't eat my copy of Avengers number 2.
That's worth some
dough. I think 1963. Yeah, a guy called Joe French at school stole it from me, so I lost it anyway. So I can't really answer that question because it's such a sore point.
I would say Silver Surfer, that his surfboard has time-traveling capabilities.
I could do with that.
Gene, yes. On the other hand, I don't know. That would be tough. Maybe, well, I can't say the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. That would be unfair. The Stretch. There we go.
My comic book requirements were more traditional. Things like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Something with a man on it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I ever read Supergirl. I knew one of the co-creators, as our listeners know, Otto Binder, but I don't know that I ever read any of the comics.
No, I don't see you in a Supergirl outfit. You know who mine is?
Well, I never wore an outfit. I always looked at superheroes as something external.
Okay, you're not going to guess which one's mine. Let's move on with the show.
No. I want you to answer.
I don't even know his name. He was Turok, Son of Stone's sidekick in the Golden Key, Turok, Son of Stone comics. I liked him because he was always like, he was like the trickster. He wasn't quite fully aware of what was going on, but he always inadvertently did the right thing. So I identify with that.
Okay. So, therefore, you would therefore be Tonto to the Lone Ranger.
Well, I already am, actually. Clifford Mahuti is Kemosabe. I'm Tonto. No, I would be Turok's Tonto in Pellucidar, the Inner Earth. And I would be running from dinosaurs, which I feel like I am in ufology. I'm always running from dinosaurs and then poking them in the legs and poking them in the rear end to try to get them to wake up and smell the cold coffee.
Now, I keep wondering here, while you keep bringing up rear ends, you were doing this when we were having our discussions about UFO abductions.
Here we go. Well, it's one thing to poke a rear end. It's another thing to poke it with a spear, okay, dude? So, you know, when you're being chased by a stegosaurus, you got to come up with some. Well, actually, I wouldn't poke a stegosaurus in the rear end. I get smacked by that tail. Well, whatever. You always got to stay behind him. If you stay in front, you're in trouble.
Just set the phaser to kill.
No. I'm an Indian in the, you know, inner earth.
Right.
Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, listening, fascinated.
Now, let me ask you an interesting question here. Since we covered a few things at the edges here, in your research into all these old cases, did you find stuff that relates at all to what we consider UFO abductions now?
Oh yeah, constantly. There's although we don't include any of those cases in the book because we're looking at UFOs, but I have found a lot of cases which indicate UFO abductions. I mean, you go back to old texts on demonology, the Malleus Maleficarum, for example. Although it's true that there's a new translation of that book, which I'd like to read. And then maybe I'll find some differences with the old one. But then there's a mystic called Jane Ledd, who was born in towards the end of the 16th century, I believe. Oh, no, the start of the 17th. And she had experiences which she called transports or transportations. She found herself taken off to a star at one point in the sky. And there's a lot of things about babies and so on. And she wrote about her own UFO sightings. So, yeah, there's a lot of it. And then I'm also preparing at the moment a book about this kind of topic, including teleportations, to be published in Spanish next year. And I'm looking at these old cases, old texts, including new ones too, but very interested in how it seems that there's this continuation of a theme over time, whether it's abductions or teleportations or some kind of encounters with the unknown.
Now, do you think this unknown represents an external reality that interacts with us, or is it something that we all kind of imagine?
I'd like to think it exists. I mean, I think we've all had in our own lives experiences which one might even call paranormal, which feel paranormal at least. I mean, you could look at about how that works statistically and probably discover that it wasn't as strange as you thought. But, you know, I would like to think that there's more to this life than we can actually see. But, of course, it's also the human condition to have that feeling. So I can't even trust my own judgment in that case.
Yeah, good answer. Also, you could extrapolate that to the next level and, you know, blow the dust off your Carl Jung books and say perhaps it's a collective manifestation of phenomena that has some underlying sort of primordial, for lack of a better term, an archetypal agenda.
Yeah, it would be nice. I sometimes speak to professionals like psychologists and so on who are still reading Carl Jung, and they even get into Rupert Sheldrake and so on. Yeah, it would be very nice to think that there is another realm beyond our own. There is another plane of existence, or at least a dimension to our own human experience, which we access perhaps through the mind, or maybe manifests occasionally in our own reality.
Well, you're missing the operative word here, which is collective.
Yes, of course.
You know, the individual may be a nodal point or some sort of window or doorway to a collective environment that's being created unbeknownst to us consciously as individuals, but certain individuals may unwittingly or by design stumble into Magonia and be asked if they'd like to have something to eat. And of course, as we all know, if the fey folk ever pick you up and whisk you away and offer you something to eat or drink, say no.
That's true, yeah. You know, I always think that, I mean, I prefer to be guided by evidence, and at this point in my life, I can say I haven't found enough evidence to support the idea that there is that extra dimension to human existence. But who knows? You know, I mean, I've only been around for 44 years. We'll see what happens the next 44 that can change my mind.
Oh, you're young. You're young. Hey,
he's a whippersnapper.
Yeah, I'm going to snap the whip right now because we're running out of time. Chris Aubeck, tell our listeners where they can find more information about the stuff that you do.
Okay, well, first, my book with Martin Schoff. They can find that on Amazon. At the moment, there's some glitch on Amazon. It says that it's out of stock. Apparently, it's not actually out of stock. When you order it, you receive it quite promptly. But anyway, that's just a glitch, apparently. Or they can find it on the anomalist.com website. Then my research group, Magonia Exchange, or Magoniacs. Maybe you can call us Magoniacs. You can find this practically anywhere on Google. I mean, you can just put this into Google, but it's a Yahoo group. And people can also contact me through Facebook. I mean, there are ways to find me. I can give you the telephone number of the cafe where I normally go.
Let's not and say we did. You can find us on Twitter, by the way. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for the Paracast fan club on Facebook. You'll find two of them, and we won't give one up. Chris O'Brien's site is OurStrangePlanet.com. What else could it be? Check out Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, PLUS.theparacast.com. Learn about getting the ad-free version of this show, the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. We're adding show transcripts, videos, a lot more for a modest monthly, annual, 5-year, or lifetime subscription with free ebooks for long-term subscriptions. Learn more. Learn how it's done. Plus.theparacast.com. Plus.theparacast.com. Chris Aubeck, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.